6 this morning, John chapter 6. I want you to use your imagination this morning. I want you to imagine yourself standing on the bank of a very wide river. And behind us, as far as we can see in all directions, there is a raging fire burning up all the territory. And it's coming in our direction quite fast. To remain where we are would mean certain death. But there's one man in a strange-looking boat on the river, and he's offering to take us safely to the other side. Now, you hear some people in the group complaining that they don't like the shape and the color of his boat. Others are not sure if the boat is safe. And you definitely don't like his suggestion that he's got the only boat going across the river. And so a whole bunch of people start running up the bank of the river this way, looking for an alternative. And another group of people run this way down the river looking for another alternative, waiting for their soon-to-be crisp finale. The captain of the little boat turns to you and says, "Are you also going to make a run for it?" Your answer would probably be, "Where else can I go? You're the only boat on the river." Well, that's the question we come to this morning. Where else can we go? In our Q&A with Jesus series, it's the question we come to this morning. And today, as we go through this, we're not only going to see how the disciples of old asked the questions and got an answer, I believe we're also going to have a chance ourselves this morning to either reject or remain with Christ. So, follow along as I read John chapter 6, beginning at verse 53. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is real food, and My blood is real drink. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood remains in Me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh... The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil?" He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Lord, we ask that as we look into your word again this morning, that just as some nice warm sunshine about now would warm our physical bodies, we pray that your spirit, by taking your word and lighting it up for our life, Lord, we pray that it will warm our spirits and bring truth to bear at the deep parts of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, we looked at three barriers to truth. Remember what they were? Anybody in church a couple weeks ago? Three barriers to truth. Remember what they were? The first one? Cynicism. Second one? Starts with a P? No, that was the third one. Third one? Pluralism. Remember? And the third one was pragmatism. We talked about how those things are actual barriers to our encountering genuine and real truth. Well, this morning, the issue of rejecting truth comes even a little closer to home. Because the three we looked at before were people like Pilate, people in the world who just won't even consider coming near truth. The stuff we're going to look at this morning is kind of in-house stuff. It's dealing with things that keep people who consider themselves Christians away from Christ. Have you ever met somebody in your life who used to be a Christian? How many of you know people like that? I was a Christian once, or I used to go to church. Anybody? Okay. We've probably all met them. There's lots of them out there. It's possible for people who say they have known Christ to at some point to walk away from Him. Now, there have always been many, many reasons why people choose to walk away from Christ, to reject Him. Our text this morning gives us three. Now, if you need a reason to walk away from Christ, you'll find three of them here this morning. The first one is intellectualism. Jesus referred to Himself as the bread from heaven, and He said in verse 57, "The one who feeds on Me will live because of Me." Doesn't that kind of sound cannibalistic? It does. I mean, you got to eat My flesh, you got to drink My blood. I mean, face it, folks, there have been times in church history when people thought that what we call communion or the Lord's Supper, they thought when they were behind closed doors especially that they were a bunch of cannibals chewing on some bones and flesh and drinking blood. In verse 60, the disciples were prompted as a result of that saying to say, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Have you ever found yourself wrestling with a hard teaching of Jesus? Wrestling with questions or issues that were bigger than your mind could comprehend? Have you ever prayed for somebody to be healed and they weren't? And you've wondered, God? Anybody been there? Have you ever found yourself saying, "Well, God, if You said that, what about that? Or, God, how could You do this? Or how could You not do this?" Or the list could go on and on and on. Have you ever wrestled with questions that are bigger than your mind, bigger than your comprehension? Well, dear friends, let me ask you a deeper question. Have you ever found yourself in those times when the answer wasn't there, found yourself holding God at bay because you couldn't understand the issue? Now listen to me this morning. If you and I wait until we completely understand God before we trust Him, we will never trust Him. If anyone waits to completely understand the opposite sex until they get married, you'll be single the rest of your days. If anybody wants to completely understand parenting before they have children, you won't have kids. Now, if that is true with regards to male-female relationships and with regards to parent-child relationships, dear friends, how can our little minds ever hope to comprehend the mind and the ways of the universe's Creator? Now, I'm not suggesting that we refuse to use our God-given intellect and remain ignorant. I'm not suggesting that we don't ask the hard questions. I'm simply pointing out that our brain power will never be sufficient to comprehend God and His ways. And those who esteem their own intellectualism, their own brain power above everything else, will almost always reject Jesus. Because quite frankly, He doesn't explain everything to us. Naturalism is the second reason in our text why people reject Jesus. In verse 63 and 64, Jesus clarified to the disciples what He meant by this hard saying of eating His flesh. He said there, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And yet there are some of you who do not believe. Many people are so tied up by what they can examine with their five senses that they will not believe anything that falls outside of those boundaries. To them, the supernatural world is fairy tale fluff and movie magic. But it's not stuff that has to do with real life. Throughout recent history, there have been... This has been, I believe, one of the primary causes for many people to walk away from Christ. In our scientific, rationalistic world, we put so much emphasis on that which we can calculate and feel and understand that the pressure has been to believe that anything outside the realm of what we can calculate and feel and understand must be false and true and, like I say, fairy tale. I'm not against science. God is not against science. But we cannot write out the world that we cannot understand simply because we can't scientifically verify it. Let me ask you, how much does joy weigh? Can you tie up depression and throw it in the garbage? If I wanted to buy a dollar's worth of love, how much would I get? You see, these things cannot be found by a microscope. But they are far more real than what you and I had for breakfast. You and I cannot put God under a microscope or see Him through a telescope. But just as the invisible air filled... Well, here, it's not so invisible. Just as invisible, almost invisible air fills our lungs and brings life to our bodies, so the invisible Spirit of God can and will raise us up to a higher level of living if we will just let Him. As long as we live by our physical senses alone, we will almost always reject Jesus. In Judas, we see a third reason why some people walk away from Christ. And that's because Judas couldn't see past his own desires or think past his own wallet. In verse 70, Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil?" He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Now, you all know the story. Judas hung around with Jesus Christ as long as it served his own private agenda. However, when following Christ required a change in his life, that's when he bailed out. Anyone who, like Judas, wants to live their life completely independent of God's intervention and God's adjustment in their life will also, like Judas, ultimately reject Jesus. Now hear me. If you want Jesus and your own financial goals, if you want Jesus and your own moral deviations, if you want Jesus and your own private sins, if you want Jesus and whatever will keep you away from Him, I can tell you now that sooner or later, you too will walk away from Christ and reject Him. Why? Because it is impossible to walk in two opposite directions at the same time. You can't do it. You must turn away from either one or the other. And so for reasons of intellectualism, naturalism, and privatism, many of those who started following Jesus took the nearest exit, turning their backs on Him. And so He then turned to the 12 and He said, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And I believe that He would ask the same question of us this morning. Many people in the world have turned away from Christ, and guess what, folks? Many in the world will continue to turn away from Christ. The Bible says in the last days there will be a major falling away. All those people who, like these who walked away, will also just, it'll get too hard. They won't have the answers to their questions. or whatever else issue comes up, they're going to walk away. And Jesus looks at you and me this morning in the eye and he says, are you going to walk away too? Are you going to take the exit? I believe we need to ask ourselves this question this morning. It's extremely important that we do so. Are we hanging around with Jesus just because our parents hung around with Jesus? Do we consider ourselves Christians just because it's the culturally appropriate thing to do? Because it was part of our upbringing? Hear me, friends. You and I are living in a world that is increasingly becoming hostile to Jesus Christ. And if you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. Hostility toward Jesus Christ is a reality in our world today, and prophetically, it is going to intensify. And if you and I do not know why we remain in Him, then the red letter exit sign will become more and more enticing, and perhaps even some sitting here will someday take it. What are the reasons to remain in Christ? Look at verse 68 and 69. There Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. In Peter's brief answer, I believe there are four fabulous reasons. There's many, many more, but there's at least four fabulous reasons why to remain trusting Jesus Christ, even when the rest of the world seems to be walking the other way and trashing Him, or even in light of some people who said, yeah, I used to be a Christian, but now I'm smart. Now I've really been enlightened. What are the reasons? Four quick ones. First reason to remain in Jesus is that He's the only way. Peter asks Jesus, to whom shall we go? In other words, Jesus, what are the options? What are the options? You remember the illustration I started with this morning about we're all standing on the bank of a river with the fire raging behind us? Now hear me, the fact that there is one boat taking people across the river is not a put-down of anybody else. It is not bigotry. It is not narrow-mindedness. The captain is not a cruel man for declaring that he has a boat going across the river. The good news is, there is a boat! Why should we run up and down the banks of the river, up and down, looking, trying to build bridges, trying to do this, trying to throw ropes? There's a boat! Thank God there's a boat. All the time the boat's captain is beckoning us to safety. Where else can we go? The clear implication is that there is no other place to go. Now you may say, and I know a lot of people in the world will say, well, why don't you just take one of the other boats? Aren't there other boats? Surely there's got to be other boats going across the river. Well, the second reason to remain with Jesus is that He speaks eternal truth. Peter said, you have the words of what? Of eternal life. Now please hear me. This is a crucial point. Every single religion and religious system in the world has some good things in it. Has some truth in it. I know Christians who just want to trash all the world religions. Dear friends, there's some good stuff in the religions of the world. There is. There are many truths and morals and lifestyle improvements and traditions that have blessed a lot of people in those various religions. And I believe that we can and should affirm those things that are good in each religion. Why trash it? If it's good, honor it. If it's good, say so. But when it comes to the issue of eternal life, when it comes to the issue of how human sinful beings have any hope of spending eternity with an absolutely holy God, when it comes to that issue, dear friends, there's only one boat on the river. It's an entirely different issue. We're not talking about how to be good people. We're not talking about how to meditate and clear your mind. We're not talking about how to gain peace or happiness or good relationships or how to have a good government system. We're not talking about those things. Peter said to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." Although many people and many religions throughout history have talked about eternal life and hope to instill dreams and hopes of eternal life, only Jesus, ever guaranteed eternal life. In John 5:24, he declared, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death unto life." You hear those words this morning? The one who believes in him, who trusts him and believes in the one who sent him, has taken the boat and he is safe. He's safe. Now you may say, how can anybody make such an outrageous claim? Now that's because Jesus didn't just talk about eternal life. He didn't just promise eternal life. He gives us eternal life. In John 17:2, he said the Father had granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those given to him. In John 10:28, he said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." In John 4:13 and 14, Jesus said to the immoral Samaritan woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." You ever notice that? You try those things in life. They look so enticing. Everybody's doing them. You want to be part of them. So you try it. You drink. You taste. You do whatever. And it's okay for the party, for the thrill, for the kick, for the experience. And then you go home and you just feel empty again. You ever been there? Good morning. You've been there. You drink this water, Jesus said, go ahead, but you're going to be thirsty again. You're going to need more and more and more and more. But he said, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up unto eternal life." I was just like that woman. Were you? You been there? Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, and I'm singing so high I'll never make it through. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. I prayed that prayer, and he filled my cup. And he gave me a well of living water springing up to eternal life. He gave it to me. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything. He gave it to me. That's what he does. How is it that this man they call Jesus could give something away that belongs only to God? Who is he, anyway, to give us eternal life? Good question. Who he really is the fourth fabulous reason why we can remain in Jesus. Peter declared, "Lord, to whom shall we go?
You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. That's who you are. In John 6, 27-29, Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval." And then they asked Him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" See, everybody asks that question. What do we have to do? What do we have to do? How many prayers? How many trips? How many good deeds? How many this? How many that? How many attendances at church? How much money to give? How much? We're all wondering those questions. What must I do? And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this. Believe on the one He has sent." Believe on Him. Trust in Him. Put your life in Him. That's the work. Believe. Trust. You may say, "But how do we get across the river?" Believe in the one He has sent. Trust in the boat He's given you, dear friends. You may say, "But I don't understand everything about the boat. I don't believe this supernatural stuff. I want to do my own thing." Well, then turn and walk away. Many have left before you, and there will be many to follow you. But please don't ever say that you weren't offered the gift. Jesus has already paid your fare. His invitation is open to anyone, everywhere. And all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved to enjoy life with a holy God forever and ever and ever and ever for eternity. We have His word on it. We have His word. And so this morning, Jesus looks deep into your eyes. That's right, He looks deep into your eyes. And He asks you, "Will you also leave? Will you also leave?" And today I urge you to respond with Peter. "Where else can I go?" Only you have the words of eternal life. And so I'm coming to you, the way, the truth, the life, the one true holy God. I'm coming to you. And I'm going to stay with you. You got enough reasons to stay? Well, let's join our hearts in singing that song, "We Come, O Christ, to Thee."